Hello and welcome to another edition of the LinuxInstall.net podcast. This is episode number 116, recorded on Tuesday, July 2nd, 2014. Happy birthday, Brian! In this episode, we're going to do a little recap of what we thought of the announcements out of Google I.O. Chrome boxes, Android TV stuff in here, and all this other stuff that we thought was really cool from Google. So, before we get on, let's not forget to follow us on Twitter at LinuxInstall. Check out our Google Plus community. And also send us feedback at podcast@LinuxInstall.net. However you want to get back to us. Remember, we're in charge, so your feedback's all we want to get. Thanks a lot. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxInstall.net podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wagner. With me is my most common co-host of all, Mr. Joseph Luzzi.
Good evening, Brian.
You guys did a great job without me last week or the week before? The week before last. And travel schedules and timing just didn't work out for last week. So sorry for everybody that we missed last week, but it's going to happen every once in a while. We didn't plan to do one this week, but because the normal scheduled date was my birthday, and I was off having fun reminiscing with friends. So I am, as you can see if you're watching the video, not in my normal location, which is also why I sound a little different if I'm on audio, and that's because I'm in Dallas, Texas right now instead of beautiful Wadsworth, Ohio. And
just a little difference there.
Just a little. Not nearly as hot as I had worried it was going to be, though. And actually, my friend said that last night.
How's it been out there?
Last week rained most of the week, so the temperatures were in the 70s to not to low 90s. This week it's been 80 to 90, depending on the day. We haven't broke 100, which is what my friends were telling me last night. We should have probably at least hit 108 at least once while I was down here, and we haven't even come close.
Darn.
So
darn, you're missing all the fun.
And I'm going home, and they're going to get a heat wave over the weekend. So, yeah. And Dallas is fun, sort of. It's a crazy town driving wise. They like their highways and their one lane on ramps that go for miles. Not really miles, but it feels like miles. Especially when your GPS says bear right, and then you bear right, but you didn't bear on the rights, and you're stuck on a one lane bridge to wherever you were not trying to go. So
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, traffic is traffic, though. Doesn't matter what big city you're in.
It's all the same.
So what have you been up to, Joe?
Not too much. Working. Between working and a couple other things. Walt and I were going to try to do the podcast yesterday. I had a couple of things pop up to where I couldn't. And then we were chatting over Google Chat. And you said, well, let's try to do one tomorrow, which is today. So I said, sure. But then Walt wasn't available, so that's why it's just the two of us today.
Right. And, Linux-wise, you haven't had a chance to really do anything because you've been doing Linux at work all the time. So
besides what I've been doing at work, I have not had a chance to really do much at home with anything. Anything new or fun or exciting that would be worthwhile talking about on the podcast.
Now, I've been playing with my Raspberry Pi again because I think I'm going to use it as just my DHCP and DNS server. Because okay. I run full DNS and DHCP servers, and they're pretty light services, so it shouldn't, the 128 megs of RAM shouldn't kill me on that one.
Right.
So I was playing with that quite a bit, trying to determine which one of the, there's a ton of Raspberry Pi distributions now, and they're all very specialty because it doesn't have that much space. So it's been interesting trying to decide which one will be the easiest to do, and I think I've settled on doing things in Arch Linux, which is somewhat new for me. I've only played with it a few times. But Arch seems to be the best supported for Raspberry Pi. The Arch team seems to be supporting the Raspberry Pi pretty well. And there was almost a full complement of packages. I'm not going to say a full complement because I didn't check everything, but 9 or 10 pages worth of packages. So that's pretty cool. Normal.
My guess is with Arch, the stuff should be pretty well optimized, both for both size-wise and speed-wise, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I chose it. And you have to add all the stuff. The base Arch image is just that. It's base. It's only what you need to get a Raspberry Pi up, and then you have to start adding your own stuff. And so that's another advantage that that has for me, because it doesn't, I'm not trying to uninstall all the GUI stuff that I don't need.
Right. Yeah, it's probably giving you less overhead, which is exactly what you want in that type of device.
Right. So I've been playing with that,
Cool.
and I drove by. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but I drove by my local Radio Shack to see if they'd gone under yet or closed or whatever, because Radio Shack's closing all kinds of stores. And I'm in Wadsworth, Ohio. I really don't know that that's going to be one that sticks around, but so far they are.
You never
But
know.
when I drove past, there was a sign that said clearance, and I went, "Ooh, wait, are they selling stuff?" So I had to go in, and on the clearance table was a Netduino, which is an Arduino .NET style. Luckily for me, I can flash it and make it not .NET style, which is what I will be doing. But it's cool. I picked up the kit for like $23, and it's got a breakout board, and it's got a bunch of LEDs. It's got a motor. What else is there? A bunch of little wires for hooking into the breadboard. It's really cool. It's a neat little experimental kit. And for $23, it was pretty good deal. So I'm going to try to find time to start doing some projects and stuff that are in there with my son, and see if I can get him into doing electronics and making things flash and beep and stuff. Oh, there's a speaker in there too.
Cool. Speaking of your son, did you set up a Minecraft server for him?
My son has discovered Minecraft. I ran out of time. I didn't have time to set anything up.
All right.
But I think I am going to grab the distro and do that. I'm still trying to decide where to buy Minecraft, because I was doing some research, and I don't know that if I buy the one on the Xbox, which is what he's been playing on my nephew's Xbox. I'm not sure if I do that, if the account really does transfer to a PC version. It seems that all of the PC versions, Windows, Mac, Linux, you can flip between any of those with your account, you're fine. But I'm not
Yeah.
so sure that works that way on the Xbox. And the Xbox is $7 cheaper, $8 cheaper for
Yeah,
some
I
reason.
am not certain of that. That question, I do not know.
But I want him to play it
See,
on the computer, because if I let him play it on the Xbox, I'll never see him.
I was gonna say it would have been so much easier if you would have just bought this when the rest of us bought it back in beta. Paid half the price of what you'd pay now, so.
But it wouldn't have had his name on the account, which this will now have, so.
True, but setting up the server should be very simple for you. I think I talked about that before. I've set up a couple of I set up a server. It's basically just a Linux distro that you could set up. That's just running some jars and everything that you can just download and update, and it's really easy to do and shouldn't have any problem running it.
I didn't have any problems loading the demo, the software and the demo, but it's only a demo because I haven't paid the money yet. As soon as I pay the money, then I can use his real account. And I got that onto his workstation, which isn't very powerful, but it'll work for this. It's only 8-bit graphics. It's not that complicated. I have been warned by you and the friend that I was seeing last night. Their 7-year-old she is very into Minecraft, so much so that last night while we were all sitting around talking, she was molding clay creatures, clay characters from Minecraft, so that she was making all of her favorite characters in clay last night, and it actually looked pretty good. It's like,
That's
and
funny.
she was really like being very precise about making sure things looked square. They weren't really square, but they were close. For 7, they were pretty darn good. But they're sitting there, they're all blocky. Like, she even made it blocky. Like, she didn't try to smooth them out and make them look more normal. They still had the 8-bit character style to them. It was pretty good.
That's funny. That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's the other fun stuff I did. But other than that, I haven't. Sounds like a lot more now that I saw sit there and talk it all out. But I didn't really think I did that much with Linux the last 2 weeks. I guess I did. We wanted to talk about what happened at Google I/O, because I/O is, for people doing Linux and Android, I/O is kind of one of the second Christmases, if you will. It
Yes.
was really funny to see that, unlike all the past years where they've basically handed out a couple of $1,000 worth of hardware, like generally more dollars in hardware than what it costs you to get in.
Yes. Yeah, it's always been a worthwhile conference to go to. You always come out ahead, I think.
Not this year.
So one of the things it seems like they handed out was the Android TV, which is really interesting to me. Both of us have been using Chromecast lately. I know I've been using mine extensively to watch a lot of different things. So I mean, so far I'm really enjoying the Chromecast. It's cool what it can do. I think I probably need to upgrade my access point because I think sometimes when I'm doing streaming from the laptop to the Chromecast off of certain websites from Chrome, it seems like if I'm using wireless, sometimes it gets a little bogged down. And I think that's just because I have an older access Linksys, G access point. So usually if I hardwire the laptop in and then just use the wireless for the laptop to connect to the Chromecast, that seems to work fine. Haven't had any issues with it so far though. Really enjoying it, but I'm very curious as to where they're going to go with this whole Android TV, as it seems like it's basically going to be the next iteration of their Google TV.
Well, and they went beyond just Android TV, right? There's also Android Car, and there's a third one, I can't remember. But
Yeah, that I think there was a third one. There were a lot of wearable products too, as well, it seemed.
oh, that's right. The Android wearable stuff. Those were the three things they were talking about. What was interesting was, unlike regular Android, the terms of service and terms of use for Android TV, Android Car, and Android wearables is much tighter, and there are limits to what you can do to them. They seem to be trying to correct for the mistakes of the past, where you had stuff like the Moto Blur issues, and even though you like it, a lot of people don't like the HTC one or the Samsung one for that matter. All the skins that were on it. So it seems like it's going to be much harder to skin this one, or you're going to be able to do much less skinning, I guess.
And truthfully, I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of the HTC one. I just don't think it's that invasive to where I hate it. Maybe it's because I've used my last several phones have been HTC phones, so I'm kind of just used to the whole Sense interface. But in regards to like the Android TV, I think they're really going after Apple, and they're really going after Roku and some of the other streaming devices, mainly based on what they're trying to do. I mean, they're trying to, position this device to not only do streaming, but to play games. It's coming with a controller. So, and
Did
I think I
they
even
announce a price? Because that was the one thing I didn't see anybody talking about.
I didn't see a price either, so no, I don't think they have. And if they have, we both must have missed it because I haven't seen that either. But I think I even talked about this in the gaming podcast, in saying that, well, some of the games on your Android phone are nice time wasters. I don't know if I want a device like that hooked up to the device I like, but that the gaming aspect, I don't know if I would play a lot of those things on my big TV because I'd rather play the PS4. I'd rather go play the PC. I'd rather go play something else than an Android-based game because they just don't have the depth I think that most games have. They're nice little time wasters on the phone, and that's what they're good for.
So you don't want to play Candy Crush on your 50-inch
I don't even have Candy
TV?
Crush installed on my phone. I mean, I get Facebook requests all the time is to play, Candy Crush from my wife, from friends, from my mom, cousins, and I'm always just like,
I've
swipe it
already
away,
blocked
swipe it away,
it.
swipe it away.
I just blocked it. I just said I don't want to see any more invites
I
for.
have to go in and do that because it's I do get quite a few from coworkers.
Yes.
But it's
So.
I just don't know. I mean, some of the other things that it's doing as far as streaming and a lot of the other things that they're going to be doing with it sound really interesting. So I wouldn't mind getting my hands on one. Now, I guess I need to see to research a little bit more and learn a little bit more about it because I guess then I'm torn between do I want something like that or do I still want a Chrome box?
Like a Chrome OS box screen?
Yeah.
Well, funny, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I managed to, thanks to Jake Chaplin, Chaplin, Jake, sorry if I got your last name wrong. I'm really doing bad with last names in the last couple of podcasts. I've tried to say people's last names, so I'm just going to stop saying people's last names.
Probably a good idea.
Anyways, Jake is somebody I met at the DevOps Days conference, and I've been kind of mentoring him and trying to help him get out of his current job situation and find a new one. And in appreciation, he just sends me a Chromebook, one of the Samsung Chromebook
I think you
laptops.
said you got one, and I figured you. I. Okay, interesting. Because I think you mentioned you did get one,
Yeah.
but you never
So I've
said where you
had,
obtained it.
that's how I obtained it. Jake was nice enough to send it to me. I owe him a sushi dinner. I thought that was pretty fair trade. I think I got much better deal on that whole thing, but okay. I have played with it, and as much as I thought it would be okay that it was only web-based,
mm-hmm.
I quickly found the limits of what I could do just on the web based on what, like, you and I would be doing.
Right.
There is a nice SSH Chrome app that works really well that I really do like, and when I don't feel like installing PuTTY on a machine, like my work machine, where I rarely need PuTTY, I just fire up that, and it works perfectly. I haven't had any problems with it, which was really amazing to me considering it's just in the browser, and there's no real back end to it. Now, some of the stuff that they were talking about doing with Chrome apps at Google I/O and some of the new focus that they have on it. And that is still one thing that's still, I think it kind of became clear that Google thought either Chrome OS or Android was going to win. There was going to be a clear winner, and they were going to drop whichever one wasn't the winner. But the problem was now it seems like both of them are doing relatively well, and so now you can't really kill one because they have fans, plus they're both making money, so why would you kill them? I mean, but playing with the Chromebook, that browser-only thing, if all I'm doing is surfing the net and hitting Google Plus and Facebook and YouTube and that stuff, it's great, and it's totally capable. Considering it's running Chrome, I haven't had any memory issues with it, but I'm itching to put an actual real OS on there after only a few hours of playing with it because I keep going for stuff and going, I'd like to, oh, I can't. And they're just little things, but, you know, you don't really have a desktop. You just have a browser window, and you just have more tabs on the browser. Not that you can't, you can pull the tabs off and set them next to each other, but it's still kind of a limitation. It's a nice writing machine, too. Actually, that Samsung keyboard isn't too bad, but I understand why Jake got bored with it. Let's put it that way.
And I think that's a good point. And that would then make me think, okay, that instead of like a Chrome box, would I want one of like those small Intel boxes, like the NUCs?
The NUCs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where you could just pretty much throw any, you know. But then I guess it's all depending on how much you want to spend on it, because obviously the more money you spend on it, the more flexibility you're going to have. I mean, hence the reason why the Chromecast does one specific thing, and it was $30. I mean, that's what I paid for mine.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you jump up to the Chrome OS, the Chrome box, it's going to give you a little more functionality than the Chromecast. You jump up to one of the NUCs where you're basically running your own distro or something, you're going to have way more flexibility than you had with either of the two previous ones and be able to do more with it. So it all depends on how much you want to do, I guess, you know, and how much you want to spend.
Well, and one of the things that I want to see is a bunch of these apps, because they're Chrome OS apps, should work on our Chrome browsers on any operating system. And one of the things that's really missing that I can Chromecast to, but I still can't use on my Linux box without going through a whole bunch of hoops, is Netflix. And if Netflix could run whatever it's running on Chromecast on my Chrome browser, and I don't understand why there would be any reason it couldn't, other than mm-hmm. the software. But if I could get a plugin that would let me run Netflix on my Linux laptop without having to do any of the Wine solutions or any of the other solutions, that would be really interesting to me. But and that's kind of a limitation of if you're going to do a Chrome machine, right? I still don't think on the Chromebook I can do Netflix.
Right, and I wonder if one of the issues in talking about this, I wonder if on the Chromecast, if they're licensing something to be able to do that, that maybe they don't want to pay for all of the browsers to be able to do.
Well, I'm wondering, is it that, or is it so that they don't have to set up some DRM scheme because the Chromecast isn't capable of recording anything. You couldn't record anything. Well, I mean, I guess you could. You could plug it into an HDMI recording device.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of work.
Okay, Kitty, keep moving. One
but
side
the other thing,
screen or the other.
Before we get too far away from the Chromecast, the coolest part about the announcements on the Chromecast was not having to be on the same Wi-Fi network to be able to manage it, or having to change the Wi-Fi network information to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And that switching over to being some audible tone so that you can manage it with your phone. Because I have this nice television right here, and I tried before bringing my Chromecast, and I really didn't have a way to stream anything to it because I couldn't get it to actually connect to the Wi-Fi network because the hotel wanted you to log in.
Yes,
so
yeah.
People didn't just freeload on it. So it was like this catch 22. I can't get it up to where I can do anything with it because I can't authenticate it. So it ended up being pretty useless, which kind of sucked because that's why I bought a second one. But, you know, it's still, I really like the Chromecast too. I have to say, it's one of the best $35 investments I've ever made because you just plug it in and it takes 2 minutes to configure and then it works. And it just works and works. I never have any real problems with it. I've had some of the wireless issues with browsers that you were talking about, but I think that was just more of a wireless thing than it was really the Chromecast.
Right, yeah, and I think so too. I mean, like I said, I think one of the things I've noticed when I'm doing streams like that, I try to make sure that crash plan is off, and anything that's, you know, especially on the laptop, if it's using Wi-Fi, I try to turn off any of those other things that are maybe using the wireless, and it seems to be fine. Or, you know, I could even just hardwire the laptop in and then use it that way, and it works perfectly. I mean, like you said, for the amount of money that it is, it's just, it was just a very good purchase.
Yes, it was. It is. So, all right, well, the other thing that I wanted to know, what did you think about the changes to Android with wonderful Android L, which they've still yet to tell us what the L stands for, fruit or dessert-wise? Still don't know what the dessert is for L.
Well, now on that, I didn't hear catch all of the Google I.O. stuff, so I fill me in on what some of that stuff is. I don't think I've heard about all of this stuff.
So one of the big complaints everybody has had about Chrome, I mean about Android since the beginning, is it's not as pretty as iPhone OS, the iOS.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired somebody back 2 revisions ago, and he has slowly but surely been doing what he can to upgrade everything. Not upgrade it, that's not the right word, but to give it a better look, to kind of smooth
to
out
skin
the
rough edges. Yeah, to skin it, basically.
And they're calling the new design, what's it, like fabric or something, or woven, I don't know. But it's gonna borrow some of the design hints from...
That's really crazy, because that just embodies, like, you know, an image of something you want to touch and feel.
Right. And they're going to borrow some design hints from Windows Phone. They're going to have some a little more tiling going on. You'll be able to have buttons that hover, that look three-dimensionally above one thing over the other. So you can still have things slightly in the background, but you can do some translucence or just do drop shadows and stuff like that, just so it looks a little better. Not really any – there's no new function to this part of it. And as a matter of fact, I don't remember any big functionality changes coming out of the Android conversation, except for that they're changing over strictly to the replacement for Dalvik, which is called Art. And you've been able to, on your phone, you should be able to, I can on my phone, recompile everything into Art. It's supposed to be faster with less memory, better garbage collection, so your apps should use less, you should be able to run more apps with the same memory, basically. And it'll have better better battery, all that good stuff. So Art will be better, but Art will be the only thing on there. There won't be any Dalvik left. So some older, updated applications may not work, but almost everything should work. I think the only thing I've heard that didn't work was WhatsApp, and they've fixed that by now too, because that was one of the first ones.
I don't think I use that.
I know I don't, so I wasn't worried about that. Plus, you know, everybody's going to have time. This isn't going to come out for a while. I would still like to get the 4.4 release, 4.4.4, which is the one before L, I think. I don't know. I've lost track of the numbers. And
well, they did say what the next version was going to be.
They did?
What? I could have swore that they did.
Dessert-wise?
I could have swore that they did. And I can't remember what it was called now.
I don't know, because all the references I've seen to it is Android L. And, of course, people in the Linux community are going, it's Android Linux. It's like, well, it's always been Linux. Android's always had Linux under the covers.
Right. I thought somebody had actually said what it was.
I don't know. I've heard lots of speculation.
Because I thought I went back and watched some of Leo's stream on it, and I thought he had even said what it was. I don't see it now,
I know
though.
On... this past Sunday's show, they were joking around about it being Lemonheads and doing another, like they did with Kit Kat, doing another co-branding.
Another, yeah, that was kind of funny.
And I was
I still see Android KitKat packages around here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and you know what? Lollipop. I heard it was going to be Lollipop.
Yeah. Somebody said lemon meringue pie at one point, too.
Okay, that's just too long. That's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. That's just too long.
Well, remember, they have to make an Android out of it and put it on the front lawn. So Lollipop would work.
You could make Lollipop would be easy.
Yeah. Lemon heads would be really difficult. Although you could do it like they did jelly bean and just make it a
bowl. Yeah, and just make an Android filled with yellow jelly beans.
Yep.
Or something, yeah.
So I mean, really, I was kind of shocked, but at the same time, it was a 2.5+ hour keynote speech.
Yes. And
by all accounts, it was so jammed with stuff. Every podcast I've heard talk about it, they get done, they're like, oh, we completely forgot to talk about X. And so every podcast I had to listen to like 3 or 4 different podcasts just to get through everything that was in the keynote, because there was so much packed in there. And let's see, for equipment stuff that they got a watch from one of the two manufacturers that has a watch out. They got, which I really want, I think somebody's going to start selling it soon, but I want that cardboard 3D thing.
I've seen that. Yes, that looks interesting.
And I want it because it's going to be like $20 maybe. And it's going to be, like, supposedly, by most of the people that actually did it from the conference, they said, I've done the Oculus Rift, and this isn't too far off from the Oculus Rift, especially considering the price differential. It's
Which just seems insane. Because, I mean, your Oculus is like $300. I mean, so if they sell the little cardboard thing for, you know, 20 or so, that's, and it's comparable, that's, hopefully the next Oculus Rift isn't made of cardboard.
That's true. Or the Sony one, because Sony's coming out with one too, right?
Yes. Sony does have theirs. Theirs is still in, I don't even know if I want to say beta, but it doesn't even have a real name yet. I mean, it's still the, you know, the build name or whatever you want to call it, you know, the pre-name of the product. They haven't really named it.
So that's about it for I.O. I don't think there was too much else that came out. I've been, like I said, I had trouble keeping up with just the keynote. I haven't seen any big splashes, though. Nobody's been talking about big noise. Some of that might be the overshadowing by the always in the press Facebook and their wonderful science experiment that they were doing on us all, or on 600,000 of their.
Yeah, I've heard about that, and that's one of these days.
Yeah, it's morally.
One of these days, I'm just going to cancel that account already, and just be done with
that. It's morally and ethically not correct, but for somehow, what killed me was they got past a college level review board for the experiment. I'm like, how did you get past that? Because it was definitely not informed consent. Nobody knew that was going on. Because somebody would have made us think about it before now. And I don't think they really learned anything important, which is the real kicker. If they didn't really learn anything, if we put happy stuff in people's feeds, they're happier. Well, of course. Why is that interesting at all? Of course, if you put happy stuff in my feed, I'm going to be happy.
That's why the only time I go out there is when the wife tags me on something. Other than that, don't even open it. If I get tagged, I'll open it, look at my tag, close it. Done.
I don't even have the app on my phone. And that was funny because that's how I was communicating with the friends I went to see last night. And I'm like, I'm screwed because I don't have the app on my phone. So how am I gonna communicate with them? Because I forgot to get their phone numbers. Well, they forgot to send me.
It does cause a little conundrum there.
Yeah. But you got anything else, Joe?
I think that's about it. Nice, quick little podcast on an off day.
There you go. So thanks again, Joe, for doing the podcast 2 weeks ago. That was great. You guys did an awesome job.
Cool. It was fun.
Kudos. Nice to see that I don't have to be on every podcast.
I think that was only the second one that I've actually run. Because I think the only other one I ran was when Greg and I did the Olaf one.
Yeah, because I couldn't do that one either.
Mm-hmm.
And, nice to not be the person holding up the podcast. So, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
You guys did good. I'd almost say it was probably better than some of the ones that I've been responsible for. So, and it was cool to talk about Linux gaming too. I liked you guys' discussion on that. I should probably let you guys take over a couple more like that and talk about the trials and tribulations of trying to run games on Linux.
Yeah.
And it'll also force you guys to actually use Linux. Well, Walt does,
true.
But
force true.
You to take time to learn and use Linux and see how well Steam really does run on Linux.
I've done quite a bit of getting certain things to run on Linux over the years. So it's definitely an adventure, let's say. It's almost yes. a game within itself to get the game to run.
It's getting easier every day, so
yeah.
You know, it'll get there.
Definitely.
Like I've said before, I remember when I had to compile stuff so I could get my keyboard to work properly. Don't have to do that anymore.
And I mean, with Steam OS, that's just going to take it to a whole different level because it's just going to make it that much easier for stuff to run.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that they're running, because you're saying because they're running it on a Linux based.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because the boxes are all Linux based, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other benefit that the Linux community is going to get is we're going to get some decent video drivers.
Yeah. And we've already seen that.
Whatever they felt like doing.
Yeah, we've definitely already seen that. You know, once that whole thing was announced, everybody was updating their crap.
Yep.
So, all right. So when you headed back? When you headed back into town?
I come back. Well, I actually this week get to fly to Baltimore to drive my mother back to Cleveland. Well, Akron. So I will be back sometime Friday. Yay, 4th of July for me! I get to spend it in the car. Which is probably when I'll post the audio podcast to this. I'll probably post that night. And then, depending on how the conversations go tomorrow, I'm either flying back to Dallas next week, and I'll be in the same hotel. So since this worked out well, I'll probably just plan to do the podcast. Or I'll be at home, in which case I'll do the podcast. So
sounds cool.
I'll either be back in my studio at home, or I'll be here.
All right. Well, definitely have a safe trip back.
Thanks. So before we go, I don't want to forget to say, hey, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Joe, did you know we're almost at 5,000 people on Twitter following us?
No, I did not realize that. I thought it was just around 2 to 3.
Yep, we're up to almost 5, and we're growing at somewhere between 10 and 20 a week. So we're close. We're like 4,800 the last time I looked. So we only have about 200 to go, and we can be there. So if everybody, you know, tells a friend, and because, of course, everybody watching the podcast is already following us, I'm sure. I don't need to ask them to do that. But anyways, if you want to follow us, we're at Linux Install on Twitter. Check out our Google Plus community. I've started posting stuff that I post on Twitter into the community space just so that I give people something to talk about. Check us out over there. And don't forget to check out our other projects. Joe is doing What I'm Playing Now at whatimplayingnow.com. And Walt is at geovec.com, even though he's not here because he did such a good job 2 weeks ago. I'm going to give him a little props. And then, of course, I'm doing devopsmastery.com. You can also look to see me. I didn't tell you this, Joe. I am going to be on not one, but two other podcasts that I am not responsible for.
Wow.
I'm going to be in August. I will appear on Arrested DevOps. And as soon as I can get my happy butt home, I'm going to be on the Podnuts Network, and I'm going to be doing their server show.
Oh, cool.
Which records on Wednesday nights. So both of them are trying to – well, I already scheduled Arrested DevOps, but the Podnuts guys and I are trying to figure it out because I wasn't sure I was going to have decent bandwidth. And we're going to see how this sounds. So if this sounds okay, and I'll see what Steve has an appreciation for quality audio. So we'll
definitely,
see what he thinks of the audio quality on this one and see if it's good enough or if he wants me to wait until I'm home. So I might be on it next week. But it'll either be next week or the week after I'll be on the Podnuts.
Cool.
Yeah, possibly more than once. It's really cool. If you have a Linux podcast and you want me to be on it, or I don't know, I'm a volunteer, Joe. Or Joe, you can definitely send me an email at podcast@linuxinstall.net. Or if you have any other feedback, you can send us there. Or, you know, we already talked about Twitter and the community. Any feedback that you have for us, put it on there. That would definitely be great. We appreciate it. Remember, we don't really charge for it. We don't really put ads in here. So we're just doing this for the fun of it. So your feedback is kind of what drives us and keeps us going. And with that, what should everybody go do, Joe?
Go install some Linux. Have a good week, everybody.
All right. Bye, everybody. This has been a production of LinuxInstall.net. All original content produced in this podcast is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. Please feel free to redistribute it to your friends.